How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere, it's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
Does an orthopedic condition or sports injury have you sidelined? Make your comeback with GW Hospital Sports Medicine. We offer services from neck to toe, including care for shoulders, hips, knees, ankles, and hands. Plus, we're the official healthcare partner of GW Athletics, the DC Furies, and the DC Revolution. Get back to doing the things you love. Learn more at gwhospital.com/sportsmed or call 888-4-GW-DOCS. Physicians are not employees or agents of this hospital.
Hey, hey, really the only thing that gon' be normal is distribution. Normal folks gon' infuse some. Optimize your lineups and you feed the rest, you mute them. Turning it up, these numbers are loud. Peeping this game from a nimbus is wild. Making it rain while I embrace all this risk, I'm insane. Talking about that best bill, I'm the best, best, best till. Into the next world, guess I got next still. Best Bell, I'm the best, best, best chill into the next.
And welcome into the Best Bell Fantasy Football Podcast and live stream. I'm Bradley Stalder. You can follow me on Twitter at FFStalder. Tonight, we're going to jump into some free agency news and updates. Lots has happened since day one of free agency when I last checked in with all of you. So we're going to jump into just very quick, rapid fire. Maybe I'll may take a minute or two per free agent or transaction and jump into my analysis of where this player is supposed to be, where I think they're going to land for fantasy, where it's going to all simmer out, and what impacts this has for fantasy football. So that's going to be my focus today on the free agent signings post day one and any of the trades that have happened. So we'll begin with Donta Foreman, most recently signing a one-year deal with the Chicago Bears. And the question is, how does this impact Khalil Herbert? I don't think it'll impact a lot because we saw Khalil Herbert play as the number two back behind David Montgomery. And I think that Khalil Herbert right now getting drafted in the 90s of ADP isn't really going to move the needle. Donta Foreman is only, if anything, this hurts Donta Foreman. I think this is a fine spot for Khalil Herbert. You aren't going to see much more of an increase because Donta Foreman is a good ball carrier. He played well last year after the Christian McCaffrey trade. In fact, there were five different games for Donta Foreman where he rushed for over 100 yards, but he does not have that second level of agility that Khalil Herbert does. So I think this is the Bears hedging a little bit and bringing in a veteran back to support Khalil Herbert. I don't think that Khalil Herbert is going to be a 20 touch per game running back, at least at this point in the offseason. But what this indicates to me is this level of signing is not going to take away Khalil Herbert from being a 10 to 12 touch player per game. So we will see an increased workload for Khalil Herbert relative to 2022, but Donta Foreman's impact on Khalil Herbert is not going to be earth-shattering. It's not going to be destructive because the price was already baked in right now for Khalil Herbert to not be a full-time lead back, a top 15, top 12 back, etc. So Donta Foreman, this move to Chicago brings in a veteran. It brings in stability. And we could see Donta Foreman having some games, and we could see Khalil Herbert having some spike week games that we saw last year. There was one game where Khalil Herbert was the number one running back in fantasy. So consider Donta Foreman as in a timeshare. I could see it being 45-55, 55-50-50, but I don't think that this is Donta Foreman comes in and takes all of the role away from Khalil Herbert. That's not how I'm viewing it. So Donta Foreman, maybe in that running back five role, like if we're valuing in fantasy, and Khalil Herbert, I think, in that running back three. So maybe like running back 30 to 35. I would have to look exactly at my rankings, and I haven't done an update from free agency yet. So once the dust settles, we've had a lot of free agents move. I will have those updated, those rankings updated. But for right now, Donta Foreman is not going to be and is not going to cause an implosion of Khalil Herbert's fantasy value right now. The Chicago Bears also signed Robert Tonyan. I think the Robert Tonyan deal does impact Cole Kmet a little bit more than what you'd like to think. I was already lower than consensus on Cole Kmet. If you remember from my previous podcast, I spoke about how DJ Moore was going to be taking away target share and upside from other players like Darnell Mooney. I didn't think Mooney could access upside now. I didn't think that Chase Claypool could access upside. I think Chase Claypool can be better than wide receiver 70 where he's being drafted. But I said the player that's going to be most impacted was going to be Cole Kmet. And this just adds fuel to the fire that the Chicago Bears are not looking to have Cole Kmet be the 1A tight end. Now, is Kmet a talented tight end? Sure. Second round pick. He's got draft capital to his name. But Robert Tonyan has double digit touchdowns just a couple years ago. You can tell I am biased. I'm revealing my bias for Robert Tonyan here. I am always going to root for Big Bob Tonyan. But this is bad news for Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet had zero games to start the, like zero fantasy point games to start the year, and then had a couple of nice spike weeks. But that happened with large touchdown plays, and he didn't command the type of target share that you were hoping. I think it was like, 17%? So let's say it depths down to 15%, 14% with Robert Tonyan. Now, you cannot justify drafting Cole Kmet at tight end 13. I don't know if the markets have changed since I last saw, but Cole Kmet even going at tight end 13 is just too rich, and you should be fading at that point pretty significantly. So right now, the updated tight end rankings are that Cole Kmet is now tight end 12. Explain to me how Cole Kmet has increased in value with DJ Moore, and now I know this is fresh. The ADPs probably haven't adjusted, but Robert Tonyan is an impact tight end. He is a goal line tight end and can make touch. He's big, he's athletic, and Robert Tonyan right now is being drafted as their tight end 41. I think that's far too late for Robert Tonyan, maybe in the tight end 30s, tight end 28. Like, I think Robert Tonyan could have a couple touchdown games where he's very valuable. So a one-year deal, one-year prove-it deal, is not a strong commitment by the Chicago Bears. The financials are still coming out as well. But this speaks to the desire for Chicago to have a solid alternative pass-catching tight end to Cole Kmet. This is bad news, the Robert Tonyan signing. Let's shift gears to quarterback. Gardner Minshew signed a one-year, $3.5 million deal with the Indianapolis Colts. And I think the Colts are in a position where they're going to probably either draft a quarterback or they're going to have to trade back and just let like Gardner Minshew duke it out with maybe another late signing free agent, or maybe the Colts draft a Hendon Hooker in the second round. That might be a possibility. Gardner Minshew, though, I think I always have some special place in my heart for Gardner Minshew to be able to get a starting role somewhere. And the Indianapolis Colts might be that place where they're playing indoors. He's got a Michael Pittman. He's got a Jonathan Taylor. He's got a couple other pass catching options. And so Gardner Minshew played well in the Philadelphia Eagles system. And it wouldn't surprise me now that the Eagles have brought over this new quarterback to compete. I wonder how much of competition and what this signals for the Colts in their direction. But Gardner Minshew is not a nothing quarterback. He's played admirably in his spot starts over the last couple of years, and he played very well his rookie year for Jacksonville. So I like this Gardner Minshew signing a lot for the Indianapolis Colts. Maybe he is relegated to a backup quarterback position. That is very much, that's the money he's being paid is backup money. But it wouldn't surprise me if Gardner Minshew really does compete for this starting quarterback role if the Indianapolis Colts say, you know what, our quarterback isn't there in the draft. So Gardner, and he may be a bridge to 2024 where the Colts could have like a top two pick or a top first overall pick. So I like the Gardner Minshew signing both for the short term and long term for the Colts and for Gardner Minshew. Darius Slayton signed a 2-year, $12 million deal to come back to the New York Giants. And I want to take a step back, and we'll talk later about other New York Giants signings, but I like this deal for Slayton because he's the only real deep threat on the New York Giants receiving core. We're talking Paris Campbell, who's a slot receiver. Sterling Shepard is a slot receiver. Wandell Robinson is a slot receiver. Isaiah Hodgins played a lot in the slot. He didn't play exclusively in the slot, but Darius Slayton is a deep threat wide receiver, and he doesn't have much competition for that type of role for the Giants. Now, the Giants can still address that wide receiver position in the draft, but they've already signed or re-signed a flurry of wide receivers that all command a 12 to 15% target share. So one of these guys is going to get bumped out, whether it's Paris Campbell, whether it's Hodgins, whether it's Sterling Shepard. We don't know the progression of Wandell Robinson's ACL injury at this point. So Darius Slayton is a wide receiver that has best ball interest. You're obviously not drafting him in redraft leagues. I don't think he's worth that type of pickup, but he might have a couple spike weeks based on his yards per reception and the routes that he runs. So we'll see what happens with Slayton, but 6 years or $6 million a year is rotational, maybe wide receiver three money. So we'll see what kind of role he can carve out post NFL draft. But for right now, Darius Slayton stands as mainly the lone outside wide receiver in that primary role. So Darius Slayton, I don't hate this signing by the Giants because they needed that type of role. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine quietly re-signed with the Tennessee Titans. And the Titans need a lot of help at their wide receiver corps. So bringing back a veteran wide receiver to give stability to Ryan Tannehill and or maybe a different future quarterback. We'll see, but Westbrook-Ikhine has had a couple spike weeks. You just never know when he's going to show up. But this is nothing more than a depth signing, a veteran presence signing, bringing him back into the fold with Mike Vrabel in Tennessee. So nothing spectacular fantasy-wise. Maybe if you take the Tannehill late, you can stack with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, but nothing more than like a 19th or 20th round pick for Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. I mentioned earlier in the podcast that Paris Campbell signed with the New York Giants. And this is a player who is a second-round pick and extraordinary athlete out of Ohio State, had dealt with injuries for the majority of his career. However, he stayed healthy last year, almost the entire season, but Paris Campbell, he had a couple spike weeks. He had a couple like top 12 weeks, but nothing more than that. You're not really going to get very much from Paris Campbell. And so when we're drafting Paris Campbell, right, we're drafting him as the wide receiver 83. Fine. Right now he's wide receiver 83 on Underdog. He has so much competition out of the slot. He's not one that I'm like taking shots on, but fine. At wide receiver 83, if you want to be stacking with Daniel Jones, I don't hate it, but at the same time, you know, there we saw Paris Campbell stay healthy and still not produce a lot of spike weeks and not force himself to be a consistent high-level receiver in the Colts offense. Like, he's just all passes close to the line of scrimmage, not going to get these big explosive plays to channel his speed. So you have to wonder if the injuries have taken a toll on his agility, on his ability to break free. But relegated to the slot, that's going to be a problem for Paris Campbell accessing upside. I mean, at wide receiver 83, whatever, but you know, I'm not counting on Paris Campbell having that ability to access the spike weeks that you would hope, given the competition, given his injury history, and given that he's just not played well in his career. Braxton Berrios, interestingly enough, signed a one-year deal with the Miami Dolphins. This is a player who, when he played a couple years ago for the Jets, was a very useful piece, commanded some targets when he was on the field, was a very flexible wide receiver. He was signed a two-year, $12 million deal just last year, but then cut by the Jets because they're running out of wide receiver spots to have on their roster. So unfortunately, Braxton Berrios gets cut, but he re-signs very quickly, bounces back with the Miami Dolphins. Certainly a player who's going to be competing for that wide receiver three role behind Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Also worth noting, Mike Gesicki is not expected to be back. He hasn't signed anywhere yet, but maybe we'll get the note on our we'll get the note that Mike Gesicki signed somewhere. But I expect that Braxton Berrios, if he wins a slot role, could be interesting. We saw Cedric Wilson kind of disappoint last year, and no other wide receiver stepped up for the Miami Dolphins as their wide receiver three. So Braxton Berrios, if you're taking super duper late shots, last I checked, he was undrafted, but Berrios right now is on the drafted list. His ADP wide receiver 159. He's free in drafts. Take a couple stabs, especially if you're drafting Tua or if you're drafting Waddle or you're drafting Tyreek Hill. If one of those players goes down with injury, we've seen in the past Braxton Berrios command targets in limited snaps. So if he can carve out a nice little slot role, this might be an underrated signing. I like Braxton Berrios on the Miami Dolphins. I think I always have. This is a soft spot for me. So clock it, March 16th, 2023, Braxton Berrios. Raise your eyebrows. Consider drafting him in the last round of your best ball drafts at this point. Travion Williams re-signed with the Bengals. This is noteworthy for two reasons. One is that Joe Mixon has been on the chopping block. He hasn't been officially released yet, but he has been speculated to be released, number one. Number two is Samaje Perine signed with Denver. I'll talk about the Denver signing in a little bit, but Travion Williams is the number three, well, now number two running back on the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals might address the running back position in the draft. Maybe they sign a veteran depth piece, but for right now, Travion Williams, worth taking in the 20th rounds of your fantasy football drafts. Consider him, especially if you've got some Bengals, right? So consider Travion Williams late due to his situation. I mean, it's March. Lots can happen between now and the end of April, but Travion Williams, raise your eyebrows that he is coming back and Samaje Perine is out of here. Vladimir. Next up, Chase Edmonds signs a one-year vet minimum deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is probably going to be the Giovanni Bernard role, but let's take a step back. Chase Edmonds last year was the highest paid running back in free agency. Day one, Miami Dolphins went out and spent a pretty penny on Chase Edmonds, only for him to be relegated to a nothing role and then eventually trade to Denver, where he did a little bit of something at the end of the season. But Chase Edmonds might have a backup third down role behind, change of pace role behind Rashad White. There have been rumors about the Buccaneers bringing in Ezekiel Elliott. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but nevertheless, good on Chase Edmonds getting the bag for the second year in a row. Unfortunately, I don't think this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team is going to be any good. So I don't know if I'm really drafting any Chase Edmonds at all, even if I have some Tampa stacks, which are going to be pretty gross anyways. So Chase Edmonds is not a running back that I'm like rotating through in my drafts, even though he does have a landing spot. there's no guarantee of a roster spot. He's got the vet minimum, so easily cut. He didn't play well last year. His pass blocking was atrocious, which is why he lost out to Raheem Mostert.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
The new Chevy Silverado HD puts you in command. Own strength with its enhanced available Duramax 6.6-liter turbo diesel V8. Own the lake with its available advanced towing technology. And own technology with an available 13.4-inch diagonal touchscreen. The new Chevy Silverado HD. Own work, own play, own life. Learn more at Chevy.com. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
That's the reality. So Chase Edmonds, 1 year, $1.1 million deal with the Bucks. It's worth noting that he landed somewhere, but not worth it for fantasy, unfortunately. So don't get your hopes up for Chase Edmonds. PJ Walker, quarterback now for the Chicago Bears, played for the Panthers last year. And this is an interesting signing because PJ Walker notoriously threw a beautiful Hail Mary pass to end the game, or I guess to tie the game with the Atlanta Falcons in their matchup last year. There was a Hail Mary to DJ Moore. And if you remember, it was 34-28 in the final seconds. And Moore comes down with the pass, 34-34, touchdown. But then Moore takes off his helmet and ends up eventually costing the Panthers the game. But PJ Walker is being brought to Chicago because he can fit the scheme and he can fit the game plan for what the Chicago Bears have. And he already has chemistry with the projected leading wide receiver for the Chicago Bears, DJ Moore. So I like this signing. It's a solid depth signing. The Chicago Bears did release, Trevor Siemian is their backup. So PJ Walker now firmly entrenched as the quarterback two on the Chicago Bears. We'll shift now to James Robinson, running back for now the New England Patriots. If you remember last year, James Robinson was traded from the Jacksonville Jaguars to the New York Jets. And this is coming off of an Achilles injury. James Robinson, undrafted free agent, who played really well his rookie year. But this is 2 years up to $8 million. When we see the final numbers, it would not surprise me if we don't get a lot from James Robinson in the guaranteed money realm. So James Robinson, 2 years, $8 million. This doesn't really impact Ramondre Stevenson. I think if anything, Pierre Strong probably poses a bigger threat to Ramondre Stevenson's workload than James Robinson does. But James Robinson is a good story. Glad that he was able to come back from the Achilles injury as quickly as he did. And he played well for Jacksonville for the first couple weeks. 17 for 100, and I think he had one or two touchdowns in that game at the beginning of the season, week 3. So James Robinson, I like as a depth piece, but nothing more. As I said, I don't think it impacts Ramondre Stevenson very much, but it is at least an eyebrow raise that he goes to New England, and New England notoriously uses multiple backs. I mean, last year, Ramondre Stevenson, majority of the season, was playing about 60% of the snaps anyways. So James Robinson lands in New England. Don't hate it. Alexander Mattison re-signs with Minnesota, 2 years, $7 million. And one of the pieces of note here in the background, the context for this signing is that Dalvin Cook has been the interest of trade talks. A lot of teams have been calling Minnesota, at least reportedly, have been calling Minnesota to find out what is the asking price for Dalvin Cook. And Dalvin Cook was already one of the players that I speculated was on the cut block. He might be cut to save some cap space. So we'll see what happens with this situation. But $7 million or $3.5 million a year is not starter money. This is still backup money. So Alexander Mattison, even if the Vikings cut or trade Dalvin Cook, it would not surprise me if they bring in another running back, or I think most likely draft running back in this draft. They'll cut Dalvin Cook. Alexander Mattison will still operate as that backup. He may have a strong role at the beginning of the year. I really do like Madison's ADP right now. Right now, Madison is going is as the running back 41, but going later than that in a lot of drafts, I've seen him go as running in the running back 50s even. So a solid running back 4 with handcuff upside. We've seen Madison play well as a handcuff. We have not seen we have seen him step into that handcuff role, but he's never been the guy. Okay. So Madison, I think this is a fine sign going back to Minnesota. There may be my opportunity here. He knows the system. But even if everything falls perfectly for Alexander Mattison, let's say the Vikings do cut Dalvin Cook. Let's say that the Vikings don't draft anyone. Let's say that Madison is the lead back. His efficiency metrics have taken a dip over the last couple of years. That is worth noting. But also that the Minnesota Vikings went from the 14th past heaviest team to the 28th most run heaviest team. So they were passing a lot more under Kevin O'Connell. So that reduced the volume ceiling for Dalvin Cook. And even if everything breaks perfectly for Alexander Mattison, I don't see him being anything better than even best case scenario, a mid pack running back 2. So, and that's where Dalvin Cook ended up last year as a low end running back 1, just due to volume and touchdowns. His receiving efficiency wasn't there because he wasn't playing well, but also because he wasn't catching a lot of targets. There weren't a lot of targets going his way and his limited rushing ceiling. So Alexander Mattison, I think, is appropriately priced at running back 41. It'll obviously jump up if things shift in the Minnesota Vikings organization. But for right now, he has the backup money, backup role is anticipated. Ooh, one of my fantasy favorites for signing wise is Miles Sanders. 4 years, $25 million, goes to the Carolina Panthers. And yes, Miles Sanders was super efficient in 2022. And he had double digit touchdowns for the Philadelphia Eagles. You have to remember two things, though. He had Jalen Hurts, and he had one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. So Miles Sanders will not have Jalen Hurts. Maybe he has C.J. Stroud. Maybe he has Anthony Richardson. Maybe he has another quarterback. Maybe it's Bryce Young. I don't know. Maybe the Panthers decide, you know, Will Levis is our guy. Regardless, I think that the rushing volume is going to be there for Miles Sanders, and I could see more dump-off passes. So the lack of efficiency that he may have with the Carolina Panthers this year may be balanced out by an increase in the passing game and also in just sheer rush volume. So I do like this Miles Sanders value, this 4 years, $25 million. Right now, Sanders is going as the running back 28, so outside the top 24. I think he'll pretty easily settle in that top 24 of running backs due to volume. This is starter-level money. This is the commitment of the Carolina Panthers to, this is the guy we want. And also, you have to remember Deuce Staley, the running back coach / assistant head coach for the Carolina Panthers, was with Miles Sanders at the beginning of his career. So there is a connection there between the Panthers and Miles Sanders. So Sanders landing here, I think, is a solid landing spot for fantasy. I like it. I don't think there's going to be as much touchdown upside, but I think that'll be balanced out, as I said before, with the volume. Jamal Williams. Love me some Jamal Williams. He signed a 3-year, $12 million deal with the Saints. And the Saints are waiting for the Alvin Kamara issue to be settled. And Jamal Williams is that perfect stopgap because he can carry the full load. He can carry the ball 20 times a game and get like 80 yards and a touchdown. And that's fine for fantasy. Or he can carry the ball 15 times a game, 13 times a game, fall into the end zone, and still be fantasy friendly. It's just a matter of what are we going to find out about Alvin Kamara's suspension, any possible suspension? What games is he going to miss? And also, what is going to be the role for Taysom Hill this year? Because the New Orleans Saints brought in a pocket passing quarterback, Derek Carr. They re-signed Juwan Johnson. And now they signed Jamal Williams. So it seems like Taysom Hill is getting like pushed out of both positions or all three positions where he could be valuable, whether it's be at the tight end position, which he doesn't play very much, running back, bringing in the likes of Jamal Williams, or the pocket passing Derek Carr. So I think Taysom Hill takes a hit with this signing. I was hoping that there would be a little bit more rushing equity at stake here for Taysom Hill. But unfortunately for Taysom Hill, Jamal Williams does sign 3 years, $12 million with the New Orleans Saints. Jacoby Brissett signed a one-year, $10 million deal with Washington. And this prompts the question, who is going to be the starter for the Washington Commanders? Is it going to be Jacoby Brissett or is it going to be Sam Howell? And it feels like the momentum now is favoring Jacoby Brissett. At the beginning of the offseason, the word out of the Commanders camp was Sam Howell's our guy. He's going to be quarterback one. He's going to be starting. And we saw some fantasy usefulness from Sam Howell in his one start at the end of 2022. Problem is, a lot of that talk has been backridden, has been regressed upon, been taken back by Coach Rivera, and that has been echoed time and again over the last few weeks. So, I think that Jacoby Myers is definitely a quarterback that should be on your super flex radar. And should very much compete for the starting role for Washington. We saw how well he played last year with the Cleveland Browns. We saw he was able to get the ball competently to Amari Cooper. Cooper was playing at wide, like a top 12, top 15 wide receiver pretty consistently. It wasn't until Deshaun Watson showed up that Amari Cooper started having more bust weeks. We also like the connection that Jacoby Brissett had with David Njoku. We saw Njoku have some pretty solid spike weeks as well. So I like Jacoby Brissett for Terry McLaurin. I like Jacoby Brissett for Jahan Dotson. I like Jacoby Brissett for Logan Thomas. I like Jacoby Brissett for, we'll see if Curtis Samuel is still on the Commanders. But Washington, I think, is in good hands if they do decide, you know what, Sam Howell is not our guy. Jacoby Brissett is going to be our starter. I think they'll be okay. Jacoby Brissett doesn't turn the ball over very much. He is a smart quarterback. He does not cause turnovers. And this is a good bridge quarterback for maybe Washington playing for 2024 draft capital. And we'll see what kind of draft capital they can get in 2024. But Jacoby Brissett could make them competitive in 2023. All right, sad news. Wah, wah, wah. Ezekiel Elliott is expected to be released by the Dallas Cowboys. Look, there was speculation about this coming into the offseason. Will Ezekiel Elliott be cut? And he's going to be designated as a post-June 1st release, which means that, well, he's going to be released, and it's that he can sign with any team. It's just how like the money works out post-June 1st release. But Zeke probably will have a nice little market for teams who want a first and second down grinder. Like Zeke can handle heavy workloads. He won't be super efficient, but he could be Brian Robinson from last year and handle 15 carries a game and fall into the end zone, I think, a little bit more than Brian Robinson, especially if he lands on like a decent team. What would be interesting to me, and depends on the money, but the Buffalo Bills just came out and said, hey, we want a big bruiser back to complement James Cook. Maybe it's Ezekiel Elliott. Maybe it's Ezekiel Elliott after he's released. I don't know how the money's going to work out, but given that speculation, he fits that perfectly. Zeke doesn't need to play, but he's a reliable pass blocker. Seems to be a good teammate. it's interdivisional, which would it's very interesting to me. It's not interdivisional, but at least it would go from one competitive team to the other. So Zeke released by the Cowboys, and if he can jump to the Buffalo Bills, I'm not being like, oh, this make like I'm trying to be wishful thinking, like I'm not trying to do that, but it's that literally a report came out tonight saying that James Cook, the Buffalo Bills are looking for a first and second down grinder type of running back to complement James Cook. This is the perfect fit. This is a veteran running back who doesn't turn the ball over a lot, who can pass block well for your mobile quarterback. And Zeke was able to do that with a pretty mobile quarterback of Dak Prescott. So Zeke released by the Cowboys, landing to the Buffalo Bills. That's my call. That's what I think could happen. That'd be very, very nice. And especially for Fantasyland, because right now Ezekiel Elliott is being, last I saw, he was being drafted as the running back 41. He's now up to running back 40 in ADP. So Ezekiel Elliott, I think, is going to be a nice value in that running back 4 range. Juju Smith-Schuster signed a 3-year, $25.5 million deal to go to the New England Patriots. And if the Patriots take a step forward for their offense, the new offensive coordinator, Mac Jones is going to look to throw the ball down the field a little bit better. I think Juju Smith-Schuster will be fine. Like, it's meh. Like, okay, I don't want to get excited about Juju. Who is? Because right now, Juju is being drafted as the wide receiver 50. So he's a wide receiver 5. Fine. Like, okay. Yeah, Juju as a wide receiver 5. Maybe with a cheap stack with Mac Jones, but even like, what are we expecting for spike weeks from him? We saw spike weeks from him last year because Patrick Mahomes, hashtag Patrick Mahomes. But the previous year with Big Ben, we didn't see any spike weeks almost at all from Juju because of the close to the line of scrimmage. He plays close to the line of scrimmage. And then the year before, I think Juju was dealing with injuries. It wasn't until we go all the way back until when Big Ben Roethlisberger had a healthy arm and Antonio Brown was also there. We haven't seen Juju be consistently good for some time now. So if you want to sprinkle in some Juju, like a couple percent, I don't mind it. But Juju is not a player that I'm targeting. I still don't think that this New England Patriots offense is going to be particularly good. So fine, if you want a little bit of Juju in your best ball drafts, I don't hate that, but he's not a player. This is not a landing spot. This is not the type of money where I'm saying, you know what, I need to go out and get Juju. I don't think it's going to shift ADPs very much either. The next piece of news is to recap what we heard yesterday, that Aaron Rodgers intends to play for the Jets. According to his show appearance with Pat McAfee, Aaron Rodgers was 90% leaning toward retirement, but then he heard that the Green Bay Packers were talking about him behind his back, and he said, you know what, let's go play. My body can handle it. I can do it, and the right spot is for the New York Jets. So Aaron Rodgers, this breaks my heart as a Green Bay Packers fan. Y'all know it. Y'all who have been with me know that I'm a diehard. You can see the Tonyan jersey in the background. You can see the Bakhtiari jersey and the Lazard jersey, the Bakhtiari jersey behind me, all the Green Bay Packers things. You can tell I'm a little heartbroken, and I do not harbor the type of venom that certain people on Twitter have toward Aaron Rodgers. I just don't. And, you know, yeah. That's what I'll say about it. I feel sad for the Packers organization because they wasted 2 MVP seasons with Aaron Rodgers. They didn't address the wide receiver position well. They drafted poorly. Aaron Rodgers.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network, with gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer.
In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
The new Chevy Silverado HD puts you in command. Own strength with its enhanced available Duramax 6.6-liter turbo diesel V8. Own the lake with its available advanced towing technology. And own technology with an available 13.4-inch diagonal touchscreen. The new Chevy Silverado HD. Own work, own play, own life. Learn more at Chevy.com. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
Hid a lot of mistakes that the Packers have made over the last 3 years. He hid them and hid them very well. The drafting of Jordan Love, the drafting of AJ Dillon, those in particular on the offensive side, the drafting of Amari Rodgers, Lord have mercy. You could have had Amon-Ra St. Brown. You could have had Amon-Ra St. Brown, but no, you went with Amari Rodgers. What an idiotic front office. And you were playing cat and mouse games with a Hall of Fame quarterback, a three-time MVP, why, Packers, why do you do this? They're just a stupid front office. So, yes, I don't blame Aaron Rodgers to intend to play for the Jets. Good for him. I hope that he plays well. I hope he's enshrined in Canton as a Packer, because that would make me very happy as a Packers fan. I rooted for Aaron Rodgers his entire career. But unfortunately, like, now that time looks to be coming to an end, and the Packers and Jets are working on compensation. And it was not that Aaron Rodgers was holding out or on people. It was that, you know, he's ultimately being disrespected by the media. I don't blame him for that, for not wanting to talk to Adam Schefter or Diana Rossini. Like, fine. Like, and wherever they're getting their sources from, it's not directly from him. And I think there's a little bit of media jealousy, frankly, that Aaron Rodgers has a good relationship with Pat McAfee. Look, maybe they won't say it, but that's the reality. Is Aaron Rodgers straight up says, delete my number. Get rid of my number, Adam Schefter. So, getting off my soapbox, it's a sad day in Packerland. I hope that Jordan Love works out, but it was a waste of a pick at that point in the draft. It was a bad decision by the front office, and it's going to haunt them for a decade. It's going to haunt them for a decade, this Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers deal. Unless Jordan Love can be the next coming of Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre or another type of Pro Bowl level quarterback. Like, I don't think Jordan Love needs to be, you know, Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't need to be a Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts. He just needs to be, Matthew Stafford level, Kirk Cousins level, and I'll be happy with that. But it's taken a long time for him to develop. He sat for a long time behind Aaron Rodgers. He was not a good prospect to start. There were a lot of questions about his accuracy and the way he's played, and we've only seen him play well in a couple very, very small samples. So, no, I have healthy skepticism on the competence of Jordan Love, and we'll see what kind of compensation the Packers get in return. Maybe it's Zach Wilson plus a first-round pick or something like that, but whatever the compensation is, we'll see whether it's going to make an impact for the Packers moving forward. But I wish nothing but the best for Aaron Rodgers moving forward. Let's keep the show rolling, though. And the next player I want to talk about is Baker Mayfield signing a 1-year, $8.5 million deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I mentioned this before with the Chase Edmonds signing, but I really don't want much to do with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now. Unless they draft a quarterback and they make a move into the top three for quarterbacks, I don't want it. I don't want it in fantasy. Like, Chris Godwin is probably, and Mike Evans are the only two fantasy relevant pieces that I think that you can talk yourself into. But even Mike Evans played terribly last year, and we knew that was coming. His median target share was below 20% in 2021, and that should have been a red flag for all of us, because one of the most predictive stats year to year, one of the stickiest stats among wide receivers is median target share. Okay, that's an R squared of over 50%. So over 50% of the next year's target share is explained by the previous year's median target share. That's pretty predictive. So we should have known that Mike Evans was going to be a difficult pickup based on that metric alone. And so with him getting older, with him showing signs of slowing down, the only other piece that's interesting in this offense is Chris Godwin. So Baker Mayfield did not look good. Like, he had one good series to win the game for the LA Rams, and he was bailed out by a couple pass interference calls on that. Every other game, like, he played mediocre. He played bad. Now, one could say, well, they have a bad offensive line for the LA Rams. No wonder Matthew Stafford was getting hurt, blah, 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 blah. Well, yeah, the Buccaneers don't have a good offensive line here either. That's one of the reasons why Tom Brady had to dump it off so much, because the offensive line was bad. And now they're trading offensive linemen. They're trading them away. They're letting them walk in free agency. It's just bad all around for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm not sure the direction where they want to go, but I mean, if I'm picking one between Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask, can I pick the field, please? I mean, Mayfield, I suppose, if I have to pick between the two, but I don't have a lot of confidence in the fantasy relevance of anyone outside of Godwin or Evans on this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. Maybe Rashad White, you know, but we'll see if Ezekiel Elliott signs with the Bucs, or if the Bucs draft a running back. I think that would be so suboptimal if they draft someone like Bijan Robinson, like Bijan plus Rashad White. No, I think that would be terrible. Let's shift gears from terribleness to eyebrow raise. We're shifting to an eyebrow raise wide receiver here, and that's Dyonte Harty. You're probably like, who the heck is Dyonte Harty? Well, you may not know him because he changed his name about a year ago. His name before was Dyonte Harris, and he played for the New Orleans Saints. And Dyonte Harris, 5'7" slot wide receiver, very, very interesting play, because he was top, I think he was wide receiver 6 in PFF receiving grade among wide receivers with at least 50 targets in 2021, and he was wide receiver 7 in yards per route run among wide receivers with at least 50 targets. So he is super speedy. He's super small, good punt returner, good kick returner. And you have to wonder, like, why does this have to do with Nyheim Hines at all? Like, is this going to impact? Probably it's going to impact Nyheim Hines, but I think it also will push a little bit for Isaiah McKenzie. McKenzie underperformed last year. Jamison Crowder underperformed last year. So to bring in an extremely speedy wide receiver, I'm not saying go out and draft Dyonte Harty in like the 12th or 13th rounds, but a 20th round pick to stack a late round stack with Josh Allen, a spike week speedster. Yeah, give me some Dyonte Harty in the last two rounds of your draft. Love this pickup. Love it, love it, love it. I mean, it's March 16th. Fine, I don't care. Dyonte Harty is a wide receiver that needs to be on your last round radar, given his spike week potential on a Buffalo Bills team that is hurting for ancillary playmakers. So Dyonte Harty, go get him, draft him, pick him up in your extremely deep dynasty leagues, because he's probably not picked up. We'll move to the tight end position. Hayden Hurst signed a 3-year, almost $22 million deal with the Carolina Panthers. This is pretty damning for Ian Thomas. It's pretty damning for Tommy Tremble. This is going to be the starting tight end for the Carolina Panthers. This is starter level money. This is more than Josh Oliver, though, thank goodness. Like, this makes the Josh Oliver the Josh Oliver signing look even more egregious, that you could have gotten Hayden Hurst instead of Josh Oliver for about the same amount of money. So Hayden Hurst did not play particularly well for fantasy with the Cincinnati Bengals. He was being overdrafted, but you know, we'll see if he gets like five targets a game with his Carolina Panthers team. And if they have a rookie quarterback who may lean on the tight end, Hayden Hurst is in that mid tight end two conversation. At least we have a fantasy relevant tight end for Carolina. Tommy Tremble was not the answer. Ian Thomas was not the answer. Hayden Hurst might be a mid tight end two answer for you for the Carolina Panthers. Now, with the departure of Paris Campbell to the New York Giants, Ashton Doolin signed a two-year deal, well, re-signed with the Colts, up to $9.2 million. And this just gives extra depth to the wide receiver core behind Michael Pittman, because it's pretty much Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce. Outside of that, shrug. Like, maybe Ashton Doolin can carve out a role behind the Colts. That's a possibility. Behind Pittman and Pierce, it's a possibility. I mean, Paris Campbell was getting a lot of targets, even though they were bad targets, and he wasn't doing a lot with them. Ashton Doolin might be worth at least an eyebrow raise. If you are, you know, taking last round flyers, Doolin can be rotated in that last round of wide receivers, given the amount that he's paid. He's paid up to $4.5 million or so a year, and there might be opportunity. I'm just not sold on the Indianapolis Colts being very or particularly good this year. Let's move on to the running backs. David Montgomery signed a three-year, $18 million deal to be the lead back for the Detroit Lions. I think this is less about David Montgomery and more about how much the Lions just are not willing to give DeAndre Swift a full workload. Now, Coach Dan Campbell at the Combine came out and said, look, guys, we need to do a hard reset with DeAndre Swift. So let's look at the DeAndre Swift stats from last year, like at the beginning. Let's take Dan Campbell at his word, because I think that he's, you know, not trying to BS us at all. DeAndre Swift, the first 3 weeks, averaged 9 carries a game and averaged 4 targets a game. So we averaged 13 opportunities a game. Are we going to be happy with 13 opportunities a game for DeAndre Swift? I mean, that's probably what we're going to have to be dealing with. The upside is there, clearly. Like, we saw DeAndre Swift have 4 top 7 weeks among running backs in 2022. But we also saw a beautiful floor. There was only one finish for DeAndre Swift running back 40 or worse in a week. Only one. And he out of 14 games. So there's a really beautiful floor for DeAndre Swift, but the ceiling, like, he can have an occasional spike week. So I don't mind like a fifth round. If this drives down DeAndre Swift to the fifth round, or heck, even the sixth round, sign me up, because DeAndre Swift has that fantasy upside. But we're also looking, let's pivot back to David Montgomery for a second. David Montgomery has been a top 24 in total points running back each of the last 4 seasons. I mean, David Montgomery, his rookie year was running back 24. His second year, he was the running back 4. This is in PPR. He's running back 19 in 2021 and running back 24 in 2022. So we can count on 200 carries. We can count on 800 rushing yards. We can count on 5 or 6 touchdowns. But you have to think that if David Montgomery is signing with the Lions, he's going to get the goal line roll. He's going to get the goal line touches, which means touchdowns. And more touchdowns than just his, like, his career high is 8. I think it's feasible that David Montgomery gets into that double-digit touchdown. Jamal Williams at 17. So 10 touchdowns for David Montgomery? Yeah, sign me up. He's going to be a top 24 running back because the fantasy gods say so. Not because we think he's particularly good, but because the NFL is going to give him touches. So David Montgomery, I think it's a suboptimal GM pick, but it may also be a clear indicator because the Lions telegraph these things to us. Like, we knew that Amon-Ra St. Brown was going to be a thing after the Lions signed DJ Chark last year and they drafted Jameson Williams. Like, it was clear that Chark was an outside wide receiver, and it was clear that Jameson Williams was not going to be back until even November, December. So we should have been wheels up for Amon-Ra St. Brown last year. David Montgomery, I think, is also going to be a running back that we need to not underestimate. Right now, Montgomery is going as the running back 34. And I think he has a strong chance to outperform that. If he can just get you 10 to 12 points a week, like, we're in business, baby, you know, as a running back 34. So if you go anchor running back, like one of the running backs in round one or round two, maybe you go Bijan, maybe you go Saquon, maybe you go Eckler, maybe you go McCaffrey, and then you wait a while. I mean, you want to hammer like a David Montgomery, right? He's going 108 overall. So what is that? The end of round nine? Yeah. Okay, fine. Like, take David Montgomery then. It's not going to be a sexy pick. Like, the football analysts are all going to eat you up, but he's going to get volume, and volume is king, especially for running backs. And it's clear that the Detroit Lions were willing to give $6 million a year to David Montgomery, where Jamal Williams only got four. So if that's an indicator at all to how the Detroit Lions view David Montgomery versus Jamal Williams, that's what we need to see. Okay. All right. Couple more picks. We've got some interesting ones coming up, and I've been on for 50 something minutes. If you like the content, find this helpful, make sure you hit that red subscribe button. All right. So a couple others. Samaje Perine signed a 2-year, $7.5 million deal to be the running back for the Denver Broncos. There has been speculation about whether Javonte Williams will be the lead back, be back in time for week one. I'm just not confident that he will be so. And right now, Javonte is being drafted. Oh, he was being drafted like round four, way earlier. Now he's being drafted as running back 21, ADP 72.5. So at the end of the sixth round is when Javonte Williams is getting picked up. And I think if you pair Perine with, if you draft Javonte Williams, Perine should be a target for you. Cause right now, as I said, Williams is running back 21. Perine is running back 47. That's super cheap. Right, he is round 16, around 14 type of guy. Sure, take Samaje Perine if you get Javonte Williams. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you want to take Perine anyways just because of the handcuff upside. If Javonte's not ready, it's clear that Perine can handle large workloads. And it's also clear that Perine it can be useful in the pass catching game. He became one of the best pass blockers in the NFL. And that's why he didn't lose his job to Chris Evans. Like, there was a lot of speculation that I had among fantasy analysts that were shared that Chris Evans was going to be the running back two for the Bengals last year. But no, Evans got noticeably worse at pass blocking and Perine got noticeably better. So Perine, one of the better pass blockers.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network, with gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
And also can handle workload. I think this is a savvy move by Sean Payton. So bringing in Perine, 2 years, $7.5 million, is backup money. But it's not a, an indicator of whether Javonte Williams will be ready or not. I think P. Ryan is that perfect, like, just in case of emergency, break the P. Ryan. All right, next up, Alan Lazard signed a four-year, $44 million deal with the New York Jets. And look, it seemed like the Jets were going to sign Lazard regardless, but this greases the wheels a little bit for Aaron Rodgers, I think. And it's a matter of time before the Jets do make that trade for Aaron Rodgers. It's a nice chemistry piece. This is almost the death of Elijah Moore. And maybe we take a break from drafting Elijah Moore at ADP for a while, let him fall a little bit, let that price drop, because I think Lazard is a good enough wide receiver too. He does enough things right, not just catching the ball, but also blocking, and he's a big-bodied wide receiver that is respected by cornerbacks. So Lazard, 4 years, $44 million. I think that's fine. Like, he could easily return on that value, and it's a good signing. Oh man, this is going to be a tough one to make sense of for fantasy and to like let it distill, because the initial reaction to Rashad Penny, 1 year, $1.3 million to the Philadelphia Eagles should be excitement. We should be excited about Rashad Penny. We like his dynamism. We like his yards after contact per attempt. We like how he's had some really nice spike weeks in the past. We like how he's been a league winner and how the Eagles have a run-heavy team and how the Eagles have a good offensive line and that Jalen Hurts opens up the offense for the running back and they get a lot of goal line rushes and touches and everything like that. All of that is true. But we're talking about Rashad Penny. So there have been some people, I've seen the drafts where Rashad Penny is being drafted in the 60s and 70s overall. Maybe that's worth it for the spike weeks. Perhaps. Because Rashad Penny, in my research with regard to running back rates, Rashad Penny rated as running back 19 in rate of top 5 weeks. That was ahead of Alvin Kamara. That was ahead of Donta Foreman. That was ahead of Joe Mixon, Cam Akers, Leonard Fournette last year. It was just a tick behind Ramondre Stevenson and just a little bit behind Etienne, Breece Hall, and Jerick McKinnon. So Rashad Penny does have the explosiveness, but I also want to offer a piece of caution as well, because Rashad Penny, like people I've seen on Twitter and the talking heads all said, oh, Rashad Penny, he crushed at the beginning of 2022. That was simply not the case. Rashad Penny, in the games where he played at least 40%, so he played 4 games at the beginning of the season. Well, 5 games. He played 5 games. 4 of them were at least 40% snaps. In those four games, he finished as the running back 37 or worse in 3 of them. In fact, 2 of those games, he finished as running back 42 or worse. He played San Francisco, went 6 for 15. And we know how San Francisco is tough. But against Detroit, everyone just remembers the one Detroit game at the beginning of the year where the Detroit Lions run defense was terrible. And then they got it together later on in the season, but he went 17 for 151 and 2 touchdowns. Everyone remembers that game, but they don't remember the 12 for 60 in week 1. They don't remember the 14 for 66 in week 3. It's just, he doesn't catch passes, which is fine for the Philadelphia Eagles, but it's also that, is that spike week potential worth the value of where he's going? Because I've seen him picked 69th, 70th, in the mid-70s overall, and right now Penny's ADP is still good. It's still 138, running back 42. I think that's a good value right now. But as we, like, right now is the time to be drafting Penny before his ADP shoots up. because I like Penny at running back 42. I think that's a good value. As I said, he was running back 19 in top 5 weeks last year. And on an offense that'll run a lot behind a good offensive line, like, there are pros to Rashad Penny, but there are also cons. You can't just be rose-colored glasses with Rashad Penny. And I haven't even said the elephant in the room. Injuries. Rashad Penny has not stayed healthy. So, yeah, but that may be due to the fact that he plays the running back position. Still, the soft tissue issue history should be an eyebrow raise for you. I think he is a good value at running back 42. However, if his price starts to get into that round five, round six, round seven, I mean, I'm going to let the market settle. I'm not going to be one attacking Rashad Penny at that price right now in March. A lot can happen between now and then. $1.3 million is almost nothing. I mean, Samaje Perine is getting paid $3.7 million a year. We're talking nearly triple what Rashad Penny is getting paid. So there's not a lot of security with Rashad Penny, but I like the spike week potential. I like the signing for the Eagles. It's just from a fantasy perspective, I will be out on the price if what I see on Twitter is going to be holding true. But if it's running back 42, if it's in the running back three range, low end running back three, high end running back four range, absolutely smash Penny all the time. Okay. Let's keep her moving. A few more things to talk about today to get us all caught up on free agent agency news and updates. Darren Waller was traded to the New York Giants for a third round pick. That was the Kadarius Toney pick. So essentially, Darren Waller for Kadarius Toney. Flip-flop. Or a three-way deal for a third round pick. So Darren Waller now joins the Giants. Problem is that we've seen him not stay healthy. The soft tissue issues have been cropping up for Waller. It's also that he's now going to be, I think, 31 years old. He has had some nice spike weeks in the past, but he's been more of a floor play tight end. If we look at last year among tight ends, Darren Waller ranked as the tight end 4 in rate at which he was a flex play, but he ranked as the tight end 11 in rate of top 5 weeks. So it's clear that he has a nice floor, but whether he can access that ceiling is going to be interesting. I think that he deserves to be in that George Kittle tier, the George Kittle, TJ Hockenson, the Mark Andrews tier, Dallas Goedert tier. I think that he's fine being there. He should not be drafted after David Njoku. But right now we're looking at Darren Waller's tight end 8. I think Evan Engram is too high. I think I'd take Waller over Engram. But Waller has leapfrogged, as of right now, David Njoku on Underdog Fantasy. So I think that he deserves to be in that spot, I think, ahead of Kyle Pitts. So I'll talk myself into, like, tight end 6, tight end 5 for Darren Waller. I think that's the right price for him. And if any value can fall for Darren Waller, I'm in on that. But this is also detrimental to Daniel Bellinger as a tight end sleeper. Unfortunately, Bellinger, we didn't get to see a ton of him last year because of the fractured eye socket injury that he suffered. So Waller being traded to the New York Giants for a third round pick, I think is good for Daniel Jones. He's going to be throwing for more than 220 yards. He's going to be throwing more often than that. So that's what I'm excited for, to see his impact for fantasy for Daniel Jones. I think this is more of Daniel Jones is positively impacted than anything. So there we go. Let's keep looking here. Next up, Jeff Wilson. Jeff Wilson, 2 years, $6 million deal to re-sign with Miami. As I said before, Jeff Wilson, or the running back realm, this is like $3 million a year. This is more than double what Rashad Penny's getting. Okay. And then that's also tied to Raheem Mostert, who signed a 2-year, $7.6 million deal to re-sign with Miami. So both players are coming back. And when we look at ADP for Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert, Mostert right now is going as running back 50. And Jeff Wilson right now is going as running back 55. So both of them are extremely valuable in drafts. And you can get the starting running backs for the Miami Dolphins that late. Sign me up. And there is nice money tied to these. And these players, they're not just Chase Edmonds. They played well in the system last year. They were re-signed and brought back. Jeff Wilson was traded for. A draft pick was traded for Jeff Wilson. So you have to like all of that together, okay? So Jeff Wilson plus Raheem Mostert, I think this is going to be a great tandem. They are excellent late-round running backs. I mean, they're being drafted, you know, as running back fives, both of them. And we can just get spike weeks. You can scoop up the Miami Dolphins backfield with not a lot of draft equity, and I think that that's going to be extremely valuable for you. Speaking of valuable wide receivers, Michael Thomas. Right now, Michael Thomas is being drafted as the wide receiver 51. Holy buckets. Look, he is going to be the steal of drafts as long as he is healthy. And I mean, health has always been the question the last couple of years for Michael Thomas. Fine. But when he was out there, Michael Thomas, just last year, and you're saying, okay, Bradley, but you know, last year was last year. I think this is the Antonio Brown corollary, where you're going to have an extremely talented wide receiver who has historically commanded 30% plus target shares. Now come out, and I mean, every year, 2020, 28% target share, 2019, 33% target share, 2018, 29% target share, 2017, 28% target share. I mean, Michael Thomas has had a 19% target share every single year. And who are his main competition for targets? Just Chris Olave. So Derek Carr is able to get the ball to Olave and Michael Thomas. That's what I'm saying, is that this offense is going to be a little bit better with Thomas playing out of the power slot and Olave rotating on the outside. I like this, how this is shaping up. Juwan Johnson also is a nice play. Taysom Hill can be integrated. They just signed Jamal Williams, Derek Carr. This offense is revamped. So I think that maybe the consensus is a little low on the New Orleans offense, believe it or not. Like, I mean, Derek Carr right now is going as quarterback 20. I think that's a fair price. He's probably easy to stack with. Now, is Carr going to give you upside weeks? Probably not. I mean, we talk about top 10 quarterback weeks, and Derek Carr ranked as a quarterback 18. Only 29% of the time last year was a top 10 quarterback. That was behind Sam Darnold in rate of top 10 weeks. That was behind Carson Wentz in rate of top 10 weeks. Okay, so yeah, it was kind of gross for Derek Carr, but I think the offense should be a little bit better with Michael Thomas, Chris Olave, Juwan Johnson, Jamal Williams, Alvin Kamara, even Taysom Hill. I think this is going to be an okay offense now that things are really coming together for the Saints. All right, we're going to talk about one more player, and then if you like the content, make sure you hit that red subscribe button. I hope you find this helpful. Jakobi Meyers signs a 3-year, $33 million deal. And this kind of helped move along the Darren Waller trade, right? Because Jakobi Meyers and Davante Adams and Mac Hollins and all the other pieces, it was going to be hard for Darren Waller or someone else to step up. And last year, Jakobi Meyers actually scored a couple touchdowns. But he also had a nice little target share. Okay. And we've seen historically Jakobi Meyers command in the neighborhood of 20 to 25% of the targets. I mean, last year was at 22%. In 2021, he was at 24%. 2020, he was at 23%. So the last 3 years, we've been floating between 22 and 24% target share. Plus you add in the Davante Adams target share of 30%+. And there just wasn't room for Darren Waller. So the signing of Jakobi Meyers is going to be fine. I just think that it's not going to be a lot of upside. Like, we look at the game logs for Jakobi Meyers last year, and I mean, in 2022, we saw a top 8 week, a top 10 week, and a top 10 week. So three top 10 weeks. That's it. I mean, mostly we see like wide receiver 37, wide receiver 33, wide receiver 39, wide receiver 45, wide receiver 28, wide receiver 69, wide receiver 45. Like, these are meh statistical outputs facilitated by large target shares. And it's Jimmy Garoppolo who's going to be throwing the ball to Jakobi Meyers. And Jakobi Meyers, 12 yards per reception is going to be just fine. But you're going to hope that he is just peppered with targets. But I think that it's Davante Adams is going to get peppered with targets. So I don't like Jakobi Meyers as like an upside pick, unfortunately. Like, I think he's going to be a solid floor PPR value. And right now, Meyers is going as wide receiver 46, so back end wide receiver 4. I guess that's fine. He was wide receiver 29 last year in fantasy points per game in PPR. He was wide receiver 35 in 2021 in points per game. So I guess this is a fine price for Jakobi Meyers based on historical data, but you also have to wonder if the Vegas Raiders are done making moves, or if they're going to maybe, you know, they're going to use that third round pick on a wide receiver and see if they can get some upside there as well to maybe stretch the field, because Davante Adams, you know, he made his killing getting the ball thrown to him downfield by Derek Carr, but Jimmy Garoppolo does not throw the ball down the field very well. So yeah, that's what we're looking at for Jakobi Meyers. There's maybe just a pause of not a high level of optimism for Meyers as we go into fantasy season. Appropriately priced on Underdog is just not a player that, like, give me Michael Thomas at wide receiver 51 over Jakobi Meyers at wide receiver 46. That's my take. That is my take. And that's how we'll end the podcast, y'all. Well, thanks so much for tuning in. I appreciate all of you. If you like the content and find this helpful, make sure you hit the red subscribe button. It really helps the channel. We've been growing to about 850 subs, really barreling toward 1,000. So I am grateful for all of you who have subscribed so far. And I hope that all of the content you've heard tonight has been helpful. Until next time, everyone. And until the next update for fantasy football, I'm Bradley Stalder. And good luck in the best ball streets.
I embrace all this risk, I'm insane. Talking about that best bill, I'm the best till into the next world. Guess I got next still. Best bill, I'm the best till into the next world. Guess I got next still.
How powerful is the Cox Network? So powerful that one day, the internet will let your doctor perform miracles from thousands of miles away.
Connecting to remote operating room.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term house call.
Operation complete.
The Cox Network. With gig speeds everywhere. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, bringing us closer. In Cox serviceable areas, speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms apply. Other restrictions may apply.
The new Chevy Silverado HD puts you in command. Own strength with its enhanced available Duramax 6.6-liter turbo diesel V8. Own the lake with its available advanced towing technology. And own technology with an available 13.4-inch diagonal touchscreen. The new Chevy Silverado HD. Own work, own play, own life. Learn more at Chevy.com. Find new roads. Chevrolet.